Hi there.
This is not another advertisement inviting you to a church where it doesn't matter how you dress or what kind of shoes you have on or promising you'll be home before kickoff and that our church is totally different and you will be comfortable without any pressure regarding religion. Listen, none of that really matters. The question is, does your life need to change?
Sunday morning, 11 a.m., 5833 4th Street in Lubbock, Rock City, a place for the soul.
RockCityLubbock.com.
Red Horse Radio.
Welcome, welcome.
This is your daily drive time gut check. Brought to you by Pastor Jeff McWright of Rock City. 5833 4th Street, Lubbock. We're Red Horse Radio.
We've got the next 30 minutes, so brace yourself and let's get to it.
We as the church, and it's very obvious, the church is losing ground in our culture. Now, some people may be such optimists that you can't see that. I tell people things like this at times, and they're like, oh, brother, don't say that. Like, well, brother, denial is not just a river in Egypt. Maybe you ought to think about looking at the world obviously. I have no problem. If I was going into an athletic event, I have no problem crediting my opponent. I'm sure that in the plans of Coach Cliff Kingsbury's staff over the past week, I'm sure that they talked about a great running back for the Oklahoma State Cowboys who would carry the ball on an average of 8 to 8.5 yards per carry. I'm sure the man told his defensive line about that great running back. Obviously they did because they totally shut him down yesterday. But that was not to defame the defensive line. That was not to make those Texas Tech Red Raiders feel insignificant or scared. It was coaching them, preparing them to step up their game. And if you don't believe that the church is losing ground in this culture, you need some spiritual glasses. No, you really just need glasses. Because when we look up and we see the things that we see in our culture, it is obvious that we as the church are losing ground with our culture. They did a survey that kind of talks about the millennial generation and then the generations coming after them. These are people 22 to 29 and then younger. In 2015, this research project found that of 60-year-old people, 22% of them had stopped going to church from their childhood. These are people in their 60s, and they were asked, did you go to church when you were a child? And they said yes, and they said, well, are you still involved in going to worship? And 22% of them said no. Not bad. They asked the millennial generation, and 53% of those people who were raised going to church and worship, 53% were no longer going. Now, I don't know what your terms of losing ground are, but that's losing ground. They say we're one generation away from paganism. You see, so if you've got a 30-year-old person who was raised going to church and studying the Bible and knowing the things about God, and then 53% of them stop going in their later years, how do you believe their children are going to be raised if they're not even participating in worship? The children are going to evaluate that even less. So then you have a generation that knows a little bit about God, but they don't practice it. And then their offspring knows nothing about God, so they practice even less. And so they say, we're always one generation away from paganism. Our schools don't regard God anymore. Someone created a unique meme, I guess it was, after a few of the shootings ago in schools. And the statement was, Lord, would you please stop these kids from shooting our classmates in our schools? And God's reply was, I can't, because you kicked me out in 1962. And isn't it unique? The same politicians who will stand in united chorus and say you're in our thoughts and prayers hold a wall against prayers in the very institutions that they're having thoughts and prayers about. That's losing ground. So just like a house is built, you don't build a house by taking a roof line and setting it out on a job site. You don't take walls out there and put them all in alignment to the prints. The first thing you do with a job site when you're going to build a structure is you must set the foundation in place. And that's where we must start if we're going to recover this entity called Christianity in the church. And I'm just symbolically using the term ark, because in the old covenant, the ark represented it was everything. It was God's power. They would take the ark before the troops, and the troops would pray, and the priest would pray over them, and they would sometimes pass the ark in front of the troops, and then the troops would go win battles. And they won battles sometimes they should have never won because of the power that was represented in that ark. Well, you need to understand today, we are like, the church is like the ark. We're like the ark of the covenant. And the Bible talked about that wherever that ark was, there was victory. Did you know wherever you go, you should experience victory? Now, we've made sure that we understand the definition of victory is not a large amount of cash, and it's not brand new cars, it's not big houses. Sometimes victory is none of that. But what is victory for your life pertaining to the kingdom of God? That's what you should be experiencing everywhere you go. Paul said, you have made us to be more than conquerors. And so we've got to go back to the foundation, and I'm going to give you about five foundation stones that they're laid upon each other. But if you don't understand these five things, you really don't understand the true gospel. And that's the problem. Many churches, many ministers today preach a message about a roof or about walls. In other words, they'll say that Jesus Christ can save you. But a lot of people today don't even know that they need saving because they don't understand some foundational truths. They don't know about original sin. A lot of people today don't even believe God created the world, so they have no grounds upon which to believe somebody talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, you're wasting your time if you try to convert somebody that doesn't even believe God created the world. So the church is trying to piecemeal a structure, but you got to do the foundation first, and then you got to set the walls. You can't put a rooftop on a building until the walls are up. What would it rest on? So we have to understand if we're going to recover, because I don't know about you, and if you have children, you should relate to this. If you have young children, you should really relate to this. I don't like the fact that this young fellow minister in that memorial service of mine, Mr. Isaac Vasquez, I don't like the fact of what he's going to see in his lifetime in America. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that his understanding concerning marriage being between one man and one woman is going to be skewed in his life. I don't like that, because I know that even though he's a good kid and he's on the right path and he's in our school and every day he's learning, he's getting the foundation, but it's still going to be daunting when many of his peers have these values that he doesn't have. Let me tell you, you know it's difficult to live in a world with contradictory values. That's what keeps us quiet in our workplaces. And I thank God for our New Life Christian School. And if you know children between kindergarten 4 and 6th grade, do them a favor and tell them about New Life Christian School. We will set a darn good foundation for them to understand the gospel, the true gospel. And they get it, man. It's incredible. We had a 5-year-old kid goes to New Life Christian School. The other day he was telling his teacher about something in his past, and he talked about trying to cut his brother's finger off. And he said, I cut it all the way off. And then the story was found out to be that he just bit him pretty good. But in his heart, man, he cut it off. And so the teacher said, she said, that's wrong for you to treat your brother like that. She said, don't you know the Bible says love one another and do good to those and love those even that despitefully use you? And as you would have others treat you, do that to yourself. I mean, she just gave this whole string of theology. This 5-year-old kid, you know what he said? He goes, I know, but this happened before I learned all of that. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's a great answer. I was like, this guy's going to be a defense attorney. I mean, this guy knows how to cover it up, man. That was before I knew all of that stuff. I don't like the fact that these kids that we send off to school stand higher and higher chances of being gunned down in their schools. That bothers me. And you say, well, that's a political issue about guns. Let me tell you how stupid that thought is. If you're overweight, we need to outlaw forks and spoons. See how silly that is? That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Listen, if killing is in the heart of somebody, they'll use a meat cleaver, they'll use a baseball bat. How much are you going to remove from culture? We fall for the silliest things. But I don't like the fact that I pass by these school buses on the roads in the mornings and I think some man in a city drove by a school bus on a given morning and those kids that he passed by were the kids that caught a bullet that day. I don't like that risk. I don't like feeling that way. I think our children ought to be explicitly safe in our schools where they can learn. But I also believe they ought to be teaching our kids education and not indoctrination. And all this social agenda on how that so-and-so has two moms. That's a lie. I don't like kids being lied to. It's impossible for a human being to have two mothers. It's impossible. I don't like that deception because it gets lives off course. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you love your neighbor's kids. I don't like the fact that we're ruining our nation by not having boundaries. Now, I'm not just talking about physical borders. I'm talking about just boundaries. And I have to know, and I have to grab a hold of the fact that the church is the answer. Look at your Bible. It says you're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill. Did you know the church is supposed to model everything good for a society and a culture? When the world can't figure out racial issues, they should be able to go to any worship center in their city and get an exact overlay of how it ought to happen. Because we ought to be working together, loving one another. I did a show Friday night with a drummer that I had only seen in a couple of churches on the east side. He's a black guy. And I want to tell you, when I walked in and saw that he was playing drums, I wasn't looking for anything except that right foot. Because see, I test a drummer by how he handles that bass drum right there. Because that's my clock. That's keeping time. And I got on the side of that drum kit. I wouldn't have cared if that fella would have been pink or green. I was like, That brother can play the drum. I'm with that brother right there. I never even thought about the color of his skin. I didn't care about that. You know why? Because I'm in the church. The church can't regard people like that. And anybody in the church is wrong, and I don't think you have a chance to go to heaven if you have racial division in your heart toward another human being. I don't care who you are. And if more preachers would preach this, politicians wouldn't have to waste their time dealing with the fallout of it. I told you some time ago about this school closing that, you know, they were fighting about in the city and the school district. And so all these preachers got together, you know, every month, and we would pray about issues, and we'd get up in the top of the metro tower, and we'd look out the glass, and we'd just pray in the four corners of our city, and everybody had all this pomp and circumstance, and we have in the school board going on this another school closing, and you know what, isn't it odd that they always close them on the, always close the school, most of the time they close the schools on the east and north sides. That's the truth. Check it out. I don't know why. But there was another one closing, and everybody was offended that these white people would close down this black school. And you know what we got in that prayer meeting? Does that make y'all nervous when I talk like this? You're shallow if it does. You're shallow, you're part of the problem. You ought to get excited when a preacher starts preaching about this stuff. How are you going to fix a culture? This is a place where we shape morals, man. You don't get your morals shaping at the bank. And let me tell you something, legislation can't shape morals. The only thing laws can do is deal with the effect of decisions made from the head, but only God can change a man's heart. If you change a man's heart, you will see his head changed. So they got up one day, and it was all in the press and all this division going on. I can't believe these cold-hearted preachers are going to close down our school. And you know what? Somebody brought it up in that prayer meeting. And this one started praying. Oh, God, forgive us for our, you know, harsh feelings toward those with lesser, you know, things and those underprivileged, and purify the school board to make sure that they're doing the right thing. And then another pastor. And I just noticed, because I know where some of these people go to church, and I was like, I'm pretty sure the superintendent of the schools goes to that man's church. And he's over there praying that the school board would change and be more considerate. And I started getting, excuse me, but I'm not going to clean this up. I started getting pissed off. Six or eight of them prayed the same prayers. And I noticed, I know some school board members that go to that guy's church and this guy. And when they came around the circle, I didn't sing Kumbaya. I said, gentlemen, I'm sorry. I said, I just have to say something. I said, don't our superintendent of schools go to your church? He looked like, holy hell. He's like, oh, brother, I think so. I was like, give me that old brother business. I said, I know a certain school board member, so I called him by name. I said, don't they worship at your place? They were like, yes, sir, I believe so. I said, let me ask you guys a question. I said, have y'all ever gone down to the central office and walked in your church member's office and told him the things you've been telling God right now? Because if you really feel it's wrong for what they're doing, why don't you have the guts to go in there and face it off? Why are you putting it off on God to do something? And you know what? God didn't do anything about it, neither did they, and they closed that school. Now, I'm not saying I don't know everything about why they closed that school. It might have been a smart thing to do. If it's smart, then it's smart. And even if something is smart that goes against a certain group, it doesn't mean we hate that group. Stop being so shallow, people. If you make a wise decision, that does not mean you're slandering some group. The Bible says if you're stealing, stop stealing. That's what it says. He says, I will make the prostitute to be a good mother of children. The Bible's plain. The church is supposed to be the model. But you know the problem is? People come to the church and they see the same crap that they see out in society. And that's what we got to change. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Anything that we want the world to see of Jesus Christ has got to come through your lens. And the Bible, Jesus was talking when he said that. You're the light of the world. And he said, you don't light a light and put a shroud or a cover over it. And you know what? The church has got all these covers and all these blockages, and the light is real, but it can't shine out. 2/3 of young people are leaving the church in America by the time they reach college age. 2/3. The church is dying off. If our numbers are decreasing every generation, I mean, are y'all simple-minded like I am to just say we have a problem? If more kids are leaving the church than are staying, eventually, with a few more memorials, the numbers are going to be so tilted. In England, 4 to 5% of the population go to worship. That's why they're so screwed up. And you look at America, man, we just study all those nations and we just so want to be like them. The 20-somethings, now these are 20, this is millennials, the 20 to 29. 20% raised in church are spiritually active at 29. So in their 20s now, by the time they reach 29, only 20% will be active in their spiritual organization. 61% that were raised through their teenage years with spiritual disciplines, going to church, being a part of a ministry organization, 61% will be disengaged by the time they leave their 20s. I'm just telling you, we're losing ground. When politicians are more popular, when they say, whatever your sexual orientation, that should be the number one reason you don't vote for somebody. If a man in his speech says, we want to be with the blacks, we want to be with the Hispanics, we want to be with those, whatever sexual orientation you want, that ought to be the first sign. I won't vote for that fool. The Bible says he made them male and female. That's the truth. But in this culture, it's just whatever. Whatever. Someone asked me the other day, they said, what's the most dangerous word in the dictionary? And you know what I responded with? That word, whatever. That's the most dangerous word in the dictionary. Whatever. Whatever. Christian kids, we're talking about kids raised in the church, we're asked, are you born again? 60% of them said yes, 40% said no. They didn't even know what it was to be born again. They were asked, if you're a good person, will you go to heaven? 65% of churched young people said, yes, you'll go to heaven. If you're good. I explained this to my son on the way to the building today. I pointed out two buildings. I said, look, this is how this goes. That building, let's just say it's destined to catch on fire. And that building is destined to stay safe. I said, you know what? If you're in that building that's destined to burn, it don't matter if you're in there walking on water. It don't matter if you're in there doing all kinds of good. If you're in the building that's going to burn, you're going to burn. See, you and I were born in Adam. That's called original sin. So if you're born, if you're a human being, at some point in your life, you must be born again, dying to Adam, coming alive to Jesus Christ. And what that happens, I told my son Dylan, when you get born again, Jesus takes you out of that building that's destined to burn and he puts you in the safe building. And the wonderful thing about that is, even if you make mistakes in the burn, in the safe building, you're not going to burn because grace is there. That's pretty easy to understand. So some people say, well, I think if you're a good person, it don't matter if you're in a bad building. It doesn't matter what you're doing in there. It has nothing to do about being good. It's about where you are. Which man are you in, the first son of God or the second son of God? Adam, according to the Bible, was the first son of God. And too many people live in him all of their life and they die destined for nothing good. But some of us are blessed enough to have heard the voice of God calling our heart, and we became dead to Adam, and we became alive to Christ. Does that make any sense to anybody? It's pretty simple. So when you're talking to somebody, don't try to put the roof on the house if they haven't even got a foundation. It's like, I don't understand what you mean. Why do I need a savior? To save me from what? Then you got to go back. What is the gospel? What is sin? See, a lot of people today don't even know what sin is. They don't know. I just say, hey, I just chose to do that. It's, you know, we've got situational ethics, and that's the situation I was in, and that's the decision I made. We know the side stuff, but we don't know the grave stuff. We don't know the stuff that makes a difference in life or death, and heaven or hell, and eternity. The Bible says in Matthew 7 that narrow is the way that leads to life. Narrow is the way that leads to life. But you know what preachers have done in our culture? We've just made the world demanded it and the church complied. We just made this wide transit. We just act like, man, it's just anything goes. That's how people fill buildings. They just make it so easy that it don't test your flesh at all. Let me tell you something. If faith don't mess with your flesh, you don't have faith. Faith will mess with your flesh. You normally don't like the things that the Spirit wants you to do. The Bible says it's at war with each other. Now, I'm sorry that you're here today if you don't like that, but that's what the Bible says. It says our flesh wars with our spirit. I'll be honest with you. I usually don't like the things that my spirit is led to do. My God, is there another plan? Can we do something cool? That's just the way it is, man. The flesh and the spirit are constantly battling each other. The chance of the church getting this, man, concerns me sometimes because we're so flesh-oriented. You go to a service and everybody's like, well, I didn't feel anything. I didn't like that church. That music was too loud. Honey, you know what? When you're laying in the casket, you won't care how loud the music is. You could take a person that smoked all their life, and if they're in their casket, you could light up a Marlboro Red and put it in their mouth, and they will not take a drag because they're dead. And you and I, the Bible says we were supposed to be dead to ourselves and alive to Christ. And so when it comes to my spirit, I don't have a choice. I don't have an option because I'm dead to my flesh. Well, I'm not quite dead. I'm dying.
Red Horse Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Red Horse Radio. Log on to rockcitylubbock.com and give me some feedback on the show. I hope you join our daily listening team and tune in each week at 5:30 in the afternoon. If you would like to support Red Horse Radio financially, you can do that on the Rock City website.
Well, there it is. Red Horse Radio. We'll be here every weekday afternoon at 5:30. Red Horse Radio is brought to you by Pastor Jeff McWright with Rock City, 5833 4th Street in Lubbock, Texas. Come join us at 11 a.m. every Sunday morning and find us on the web at rockcitylubbock.com. And remember, be here next time for Red Horse Radio.